Listener production.
Hello and welcome to another episode of That's Enough Already, where it's simple. We name and shame annoying people and the annoying things that they do. This episode is no exception, especially with this week's guest, Melbourne Comedy Festival alumni Josh Jack. In this episode, we discuss why redundancy days are his absolute favourite, so much so he brought a clown into his redundancy meeting. If you know, you know. His hatred for curved bottom tacos and unnecessary menu items. We agreed to disagree. But the most interesting part of the episode, why and how he stole a dog that was addicted to tomato sauce, how it affects another supporter, longtime friends of this podcast, Melanie Bracewell. A lot to unpack here. You can see his new show, Good Bloke Alert, at this year's Melbourne Comedy Festival from March 27th to April 6th. For tickets and info, head to comedyfestival.com.au. All right, let's get stuck into today's episode.
That's quite enough. Just shut your mouth. I don't give a stuff. It shush, please. Yes, I can hear. But I don't care. That's enough already. Shut up.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. Where are you? Tell us where you find yourself in this fine, fine day.
I am in Melbourne. I've just moved into a new place 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And it is been somewhat stressful. You forget about how much annoying stuff pops up in a move. Yeah. I've had a lot of dramas on the phone yesterday for an hour trying to get the internet working, which is something that I've ripped in for other people before for not knowing how to do.
Yeah.
But
now karma's come and kicked you in the dick, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But it is. It's a fucking pain in the ass. I don't mind any of that shit. You know, connecting, although that's fine. I can do that. The thing that shits me is as soon as I start packing, I'm like, I don't need any of this.
Yeah.
I can just, if I have my credit card and my passport, I'll start a new life.
Yes.
I want to start a new life. Like I'm just in the witness protection. I just want to move into a place and fuck all the other shit. I don't want to take anything with me. I hate everything immediately as soon as I have to start packing. I'm like, why the fuck do I keep this stuff? But then with the chucking out, I'm like, I can't, like I bought this in London when I was 20. It's like, it's a pen, bitch. Throw it out.
Yes. The amount of stuff where I go, that I pull out and I go, oh, that'll come in handy later. And it's like little bread ties or something that came with a loaf of bread that I got 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, but that'll be handy for future bread that I buy.
If you haven't used it
in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm always on my mum's case because she lives in a 3-bedroom house by herself, right?
Yeah.
She has filled every cupboard, every wardrobe, every hole in that house, the double garage, which is internal access. Like, I'm not trying to sell the house. I don't know why I'm listing it off like this. But she has got wardrobes down the sides and then crates on top of shelves filled with clothing and shit. And I go, why don't you get rid of some of this shit? You don't work. You're retired. You don't have any fucking hobbies. You stay at home. You wear the same 3 outfits over and over. She's like fucking Homer Simpson. Like, every day is the same outfit. I go, why don't you get rid of some of this shit? Well, what if I go to somewhere special, then I'm going to need some of these outfits and I don't want to regret it. I don't want to regret giving – remember when I donated some stuff and then I had my citizenship ceremony? I go, you made me buy you 10 new outfits for your citizenship ceremony. She goes, yes, because I was missing a blouse that I gave to hospice.
Yeah.
And now because of that, that happened 10 years ago, she's still fucking clinging to everything.
That's fair. I've kept a bunch of clothing. I lost like a few kilos recently and then a bunch of my clothes didn't fit. But I'm already anticipating being like, oh, as soon as Comedy Festival really gets into the swing of things, I'm going to be putting all this back on.
It's coming back.
I do have like a separate area of my wardrobe where I'm like, oh, this is 10 plus kilos.
It doesn't matter what you lose. Like in the past, I've lost 35 kilos. I found them all again and all their brothers. But if there's one thing I've learned from Oprah over the years – is keep your shit because it's coming back. You're going to gain it back. I think if you're supposed to be a specific weight, you're going to just be that way. That's it.
Yeah.
You could fight it. You could, like, I see people in the gym fighting their natural trend, but it's going to come back. You have one fucking injury, you're going to rip your ACL and you're going to be a fat cunt. So,
yeah.
Just embrace it.
It's not even an injury, I think, that's going to bring it on. Like, I know it's coming back and it's kind of the idea. But also, sometimes if I know that I'm about to start trying to lose weight, I'll spend about a month trying to put on as much as possible. So then I feel better about, like, the bigger loss kind of thing. It's not the most healthy way to do it.
But I'm no dietitian.
Satisfying payoff.
Listen, so you used to live in New Zealand.
Mm.
And now you're back in Australia. When did you move back?
I moved back end of 2020. So I did all the big old lockdowns in New Zealand. When they announced that everything was shutting, I went straight to the warehouse and bought a PlayStation for the first one and then enjoyed that so much that when they announced the second one, straight back and bought a Nintendo Switch. And I don't think I've played the Switch since. But
wow, so you're not one of those that learned a new language?
Oh, no, not even close.
Some people thought, let me see if I can improve myself. Let me see what I can do to better myself. I was Marie Kondoing it for the first one. Then the second one, my mum was trapped with me for 4 months, so I drank quite heavily. But, you know,
I started drinking White Russians. I never had them before and started doing that during the lockdown.
Yeah.
The most delicious drink you can imagine.
Okay, give us the recipe quickly here.
It's vodka, which you can't taste the vodka in it, but it's vodka, Kahlua, and then milk. So it's like the worst thing you probably can put in your stomach to combine with alcohol. But it kind of just tastes like an iced coffee that's a little bit worse for you.
But how good is Kahlua? Honestly, Kahlua and anything so is good. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was plowing through them. So, yeah, I didn't pick up any hobbies apart from maybe sitting. A problem.
Hey, tell me something, because you're the guy. So you're Josh Thompson, but of course in New Zealand we already have one of those. And so you go by Josh Jack.
Yep.
What's Jack, your second name?
No, just a random thing. So stupid too. God, I regret that an unbelievable amount. When I moved over there,
it was
Scott Blanks. He was like, oh, you can't be Josh Thompson. You know, everyone's going to think that you're the other Josh Thompson. And I've since talked to him about it and he was like, I don't think that would have been a problem at all. Like, it would have been all good.
No, he's Tongan.
Yeah. So I changed my name to Josh Jack and then, And then the amount of times where there was no reason. I just went, oh, that would be easy to say and fast.
Can I tell you something that is really funny? When I started doing comedy, he said to me, no matter what, never change your name.
Oh, my God.
That's the only advice that man has ever given me.
That's incredible advice. The one piece of advice he gave me was don't be called Josh Thompson.
Yeah, change your name immediately. Maybe that's kind of what he has. And maybe if we quiz all the other comedians, that's the advice he gives, like only has that two bits. And depending on how Anglo-Saxon you sound, if I can change it, don't change it.
Yeah. Tyker was originally called Josh Thompson too, had to change his name.
Yeah. His name's Andrew.
It worked out for him.
There's another Andrew. There's two Andrews actually, so you had to change it. Hey, you used to work in advertising.
Yeah, still do. I'm back in, baby.
Are you?
Advertising loves awards, eh? We're real big on it. New award show every night.
That's where the most cocaine in Auckland gets consumed on that one night at the advertising awards.
Yes.
If there's a sound at the advertising awards, it's this.
Yeah, keeping New Zealand's coke industry alive.
Yeah. And there's no, you just walk into the toilets and it's like six pair of shoes under one stool. You're like, all right.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody fucking in there. We're all.
There's a lot of people taking a shit.
Yeah. And everyone's sniffing it. Everyone's trying to sniff up your shit. Amazing. You're a copyright. And you were the guy, for those playing the home game, a few years ago, what was it like? 2019, you got made redundant.
Yeah.
And it just went absolutely fucking nuts. There was a clip of you going in and taking a support person into the meeting and your support person was a clown.
Yeah.
That you hired.
Yeah. The New Zealand's rule, I guess, was I worked in with a partner and we both got this email saying, you're going to have like a serious meeting tomorrow. Feel free to bring a support person along to it. And like, they're not saying feel free to bring a support person if it's a promotion. So I was like, redundancies happen all the time in advertising. So I was like, I'll see what this is. Yeah. I was like, what's a friend going to do? Like, I think a clown is if anything, that's perfect. Their specialty. It's to cheer people up and make people happy.
Yeah.
This is going to be sick. So I brought the clown along, not really thinking it was going to work out, but it did. He came and he made balloon animals. they still had to go through like all the, because HR's in there and my boss is in there, and they still got to go through all like the paperwork and do all the checks to make sure that you're fine. And initially, like, okay, there's a clown here, acknowledge it, have a bit of a laugh. But then, and then they just kind of move on talking as if he's not in the room anymore. Yeah. But he still is.
I think they're dying on the inside though.
Yeah, you would.
You were like, fuck my life.
Yeah. So I kind of couldn't stop laughing through the majority of it because I just every now and then would remember like, oh, there's a man next to me dressed as a clown doing weird stuff.
Did you know the clown beforehand or you just got him?
No, nah, it was through an agency. I just rang up an agency.
How fucking good is that? Not only are you losing your job, but you're employing people in the arts. I mean, the gift that keeps giving. Yeah.
Yeah. It was $200, which at the time felt financially unwise.
Yeah, it was.
Considering I was about to lose my source of income. But yeah, and then so after that happened, a mate of mine sent me like an article being like, is this you? And it was an article saying advertising man brings clown into interview. And then, yeah, it went unusually big because it doesn't shock me too much that New Zealand did a story on it just because nothing
happens.
Population of New Zealand, like 50 people. So you've got to report on something.
Yeah.
But then it was picked up by in the UK and then the US and stuff. And it was funny because I'd luckily gotten a new job by then.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, like, this is extremely public that I've been fired now and it's going to, like, I did it just because I thought it would be funny.
Yeah.
And the amount of people who were like, oh, he's doing this as a statement to say that HR are clowns and, like.
I know. Like, people love to read shit into everything.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I just thought it'd be kind of crack up. Yeah, it's happened to me twice. Both days have been my favourite days at work because, you know, you get up in the morning, you're like, oh, gee, I don't really feel like going to work today. And then you get to work and they're like, you can go home.
Yeah. So you're doing Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Yep, in the Speakeasy Theatre.
Oh, the haunted one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't believe in ghosts, but also at the same time, if you tell me a ghost story, I prefer you not to. Because I don't not believe in them enough to be confident in myself that I'm not going to have nightmares.
Yeah.
And so many people, you know, when you're a kid and the people are like, oh, don't tell him that, like you'll scare him. And then you grow up and people just tell you whatever willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Don't do that to me. You're scaring me. I went and saw this venue and the lady who runs it, she's going, yeah, the building's really old. It was built in this year. And she goes, and the guy who ran it didn't have a wife and he didn't have any friends. So he killed himself right here. And I went, oh, cool.
Nice leader.
That's probably not how I'd introduce it.
Yeah.
And then and she goes, yep, and now it's haunted. And then moved on like real quickly, then did sort of like the run through and the end. She was like, any questions? I was like, yeah, God, just a couple. the bit where you said the haunted thing, is that like a friendly sort of ghost or, you know, do you guys get along or, you know, is it sort of more of a working relationship? And then the other guy who was there with me was like, yeah, he talks to me sometimes. And then the lady was like, there's been a few times lately where he's been like locking doors behind me.
Oh.
And I go, oh, I don't really want that to happen to me. At the same time, I do suspect you might have forgotten your keys to work and it is easy to throw blame on the ghost.
Did you say that to her? Because now shit might happen to you because of her, not because of him.
Yeah, right. And that's what I don't want to do. Like, I don't want to, again, I don't believe in it, but I'm not going to tempt the ghost to be like, well, I'll show you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it. I'm not going to say anything bad about the ghost whilst I'm in there.
I do for comedic purposes. Like, if I was in a haunted place, if there was some, you know, like, force that will pick me up and throw me across the room and I could get a laugh out of it, I'll take it.
Yeah. I think that's gotta be the ultimate win, right?
Yeah.
Is to crack up the ghost.
Yeah. Fuck, I would never kill myself in a theater. Imagine if you can't leave.
Yes.
And then you just have to watch the same shit night after night. Oh, no.
You have to go somewhere, but you probably go to one like the like a Broadway one or something like that. You're not going to like a...
But even what if you get like Cats for 15 years?
Yeah, true.
That can happen. You know, you want to go, you want to go like in a strip club or...
Yeah, strip club. I think you want to make sure that strip club doesn't get then converted into like a small bar that hosts an open mic every Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah, with craft beer. That'll be the worst.
Yeah. But yeah, apparently the Palais Theatre in St Kilda is haunted. Have you heard about that?
Yeah. I have been there. I'm telling you, there's some weird juju happening in that theatre. I've played there a few times.
Yeah. And they always keep a seat empty for the ghost.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that, but I also think my management knows not to scare me too much.
Yeah. Every time I've been there, I've then got to go, oh, is the seat next to me empty because I just didn't sell, or should I be terrified right now?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask for a few seats to be left clear in my venue so the ghost can bring a few mates.
Yeah. Hey, you were saying to my producer, so first can I just say, producer Nat sends me through like talking points for the guest. But the one thing she said, can you just ask him why there's a dog in your promo pics?
The dog in the promo pic is actually Mel Bracewell's dog.
Oh.
That is Charles. Yeah. And so she took the photos for me. The show's called Uh-Oh, Good Bloke Alert, and I was trying to think of the most forced way to make myself look like a better person, which was to kidnap Mel's dog and force it to be in the photos with me. Yeah. So, yeah, that's Charles. And maybe I shouldn't publicly slag off his ex-owners, but I don't know if it was a tomato sauce addiction, but they put tomato sauce on, like, all of his food before he'd eat. And so all his teeth were messed up. It feels like a crazy thing to do to be like, yeah, man, my dog loves dog food and tomato sauce.
But you just know it's one of those people, one of those adults, you go, I can't eat anything without tomato sauce. I've got a friend who won't eat anything if there's not mayonnaise on it. Like, we all like mayonnaise, but calm the fuck down with it, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they decided to cook for him and then put the tomato sauce because they know their food's so shit. If they won't eat it without tomato sauce,
they're doing him a favor. Yeah.
And then the other thing I want to talk to you about is you got heckled in Kaitaia, which is a buzzing metropolis here in New Zealand, at the RSA. Well, we say RSA, you say RSL, but in New Zealand it's just comedy clubs because that's where most of the comedy clubs. And you got heckled by an elderly woman. Do tell.
Yeah, it was a... I think back on that gig a lot. It was the worst gig I've done in terms of like overall show, just because this gig, everyone bombed hard.
Yeah.
And we've sold maybe 10 tickets. And so we walk in there and we go, oh, we're just going to like move the stage closer to the audience so there's not a 15-meter gap between us and the 10 people.
Yeah.
And I used to do a joke about the Sky Tower. I've got a fear of height, so I used to do a joke about having to go all the way up the top of the Sky Tower thinking that there must be something good up there, and then the only thing that they had up the top of there was binoculars to look out with, and I kind of said, you know, if I wanted to see anything that up close, why would I go all the way up there? I would have stayed on the – all that stuff was down on the ground before. So I'm talking about that, and then the woman – just yells out, you should have jumped off and killed yourself. And this is like an 80-year-old woman.
Elderly woman.
Yeah. It was like, man, I've just got to say this. I've got to get this out of my system. And then after the gig, we were talking and she's maybe one of the nicest ladies I've ever had a conversation with. And she was like, oh, that was really good. Thanks for coming and doing that. And she was like, sorry, I just had to say something.
Not like, that.
You don't have to.
Not fucking that.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Just proves that cunts do grow old.
Yeah. I was like, statistically, if one of us is going to die in the next kind of couple of years.
It's going to be you. Surprise party is going to take you out. I did a school fundraiser thing in Katikati. It's broad daylight. Now, if you don't know how stand-up comedy works, daylight is not a good idea. Like, we're like vampires. We have to work at night, right? So it's during the day, it's 3 o'clock, but they teamed it up, the fundraiser, it was a science fair earlier in the day that started at one, and then the comedy was sort of the big thing at the end at three. So as a lesbian, in the beginning, whenever I did gigs out of Auckland or Wellington, if it was outside of the big centres, I wouldn't say that I was a lesbian because I was so scared that these farm communities wouldn't be able to cope with a lesbian and stone me or something. I don't know what I was expecting. So I did my 10 minutes and it actually went really well. People were laughing. It was amazing. I was like, holy shit, this is great. Then at the end of the 10 minutes, because I'm very honest with my audience, I said to them, I said, I have to tell you, I'm finished now. I'm going to go. I'm going to introduce the other comic. I said, but I just want you to know, I thought this was going to be a shit show. Because there are children here, it's a science fair, you're all a pack of nerds, and I'm a lesbian, and I was too scared to tell her I was a lesbian. I said, but now I'll tell her I'm a lesbian, but I'm going to leave now, okay? But enjoy your sandwiches. And then I introduce the next comic, and I go. I get out to the car park, and this lady comes out, a well-set woman, but also about 80, and her name's Mavis. Actually, I think she was 82. She told me her age. And then she goes, Ursula, Ursula, and I stop, and I'm like, fuck, here we go. And she's got the sandwiches, the cucumber, and I think it was cucumber and tuna sandwiches packed in the napkin. And she's talking to me, but she's also eating the sandwich. And she goes, I'm 82 years old. My name's Mavis. She goes, I just want you to know. And she's talking to me and swinging that sandwich. I'm sort of dodging that sandwich. And then she goes, we don't mind that you're a lesbian. We all know at least one or two gays over here. But as she said gays, the sandwich, a piece of well-chewed bread, that white bread that's now dough again, went flying out of her mouth and straight into my mouth.
Oh.
So, like, I think Mavis and I are in a relationship. But, yeah, then after that whole exchange, I knew, I was like, I'm judging them. You know, I was scared that they were going to judge me, but I was judging them before even getting in there going, these people are going to fucking knife me in the car park if they find out I'm gay. Meanwhile, they don't give a shit. They all know gays. And that's what Mavis taught me. I was like, all right, I'm going to tell everyone.
I reckon Mavis has gone back in and gone like, oh, guys, I've got terrible news. She's one of those people who swallows bread out of other people's mouths.
She's a freak. She's a budgie.
I think you're fine on the gay thing.
Yeah. They were all talking shit about me eating out of Mavis's mouth. Hey, let me ask you, Josh, what is something about other people that shit you to death?
I reckon there's too much of everything. Because I moved place a couple of days ago. I went, all right, I need to get a soap dispenser for the kitchen. So I went to the shop and there's like 9 different soap dispensers to choose from. And I don't need 9 to choose from. I just need one. I'm quite indecisive and I don't want to have to choose how I feel about each individual soap dispenser. I just want it to dispense soap, but I am going to freak out that I'm getting the wrong one because there are so many to choose from. And it's the same with everything. It's cafes where you go, all right, I'm going to have this, and then you turn the menu over and there's a whole nother page of things. I don't want there to be TV shows, movies, everything. I don't want there to be that many decisions. The way to self-express, though, it can't be through a soap dispenser. It's a soap dispenser.
It sounds like you're crying out for a wife here. This is a job for a wife. You know, in the 1950s, men didn't even know what supermarkets look like on the inside.
Yeah. I just want it to be there in my house. I want it to be done.
Yeah, you sound like you just want to be a husband 12 years in.
Yeah.
We come home and you go, great, what please. Is this thing called again? Water bottle. Yeah. All the kids have them now.
I love it. That's great. Is that the only design they had? Yes. Okay. I don't have to second
guess.
No,
you won't even question. You're like, if you see another one in a different color, you're like, is that also called a water bottle? What's that one?
Yeah, wow.
Now, I want to ask you what shits you, but I think you should stick with that.
Yeah, it's how am I meant to know what's what and what's good? Who would know what is and isn't good is the chef who designed the menu.
Yeah.
Why has he put his whole resume of 40 different dishes that he can cook? Just because you can cook it, it doesn't need to be on that bit of paper.
I agree with you there. No one needs that amount of option.
Yeah, we get it. You went to TAFE for a year or whatever. Every menu should have you know, three options, a vegetarian, a fish, and a meat.
Maybe in a gluten-free. Can we get gluten-free for the people in the back?
Yeah, and a gluten-free, a small, medium, large, and then done. I've already spent half an hour picking the restaurant that we're going to go to. I don't need to then get in there and have to spend another half an hour.
I bet you never choose the restaurant, though.
No, I don't. I go off whatever.
You're the guy that just goes, where are we going? And people go, don't ask them, just tell them.
Yeah, if I'm just with one other person, not even look at the menu and just order whatever they're getting, because I don't want my food to come out and be like, damn, I should have gotten what they got.
Mm.
So it cuts out the whole process.
That's not a real shit, yeah. I just want to, it's a you thing. It's a you thing, Josh. I like options. I love when you go like, oh my God, next time we're going to try
Why
that.
Why can't they narrow down their choices?
That is not a shitty thing. Like, I do agree on the menus. Like, they need to tone it down. Maybe three breakfasts, three lunch, three dinners. Like, don't have more than 10 things on your menu.
I made tacos the other night. Exact same thing there, where they've got 10 different kinds of shell. And I just assumed that they were all the same, grabbed it, got home, and you know they make like the hard taco shells now, and they've got the flat bottom so you can stand them up so you can put all your ingredients in. I've pulled them out of the box and they're not. They're like the curved bottom. Yeah. And you might go, oh, well, why do you look closer enough when you bought them? A better question is, why are these shit taco shells still on the shelf? Why are they not in the bin? We've invented a better taco. You don't need to go, oh, what do you want to choose from? The flat shell taco or the taco that falls over every time you try and pick it up and spills your food all over the plate?
The minute you buy it, you're in the same, everything's everywhere. Now you've got the mince on your tits, the lettuce on the floor. You know, you know, it's just not practical.
I reckon the ideal is if you can get like a wrap or a soft shell that you have sitting underneath the plate and then you eat your hard shell tacos and falls out onto the wrap, that's your
okay,
finale.
You sold everything. I take everything back I said before. That is a genius fucking idea. We're going to do that. You know, here I am just licking the plate, but that's much better. That's, oh my God. Is there anything that you can think that shits you, that's not this, about yourself?
Spatial awareness of other people, I think, has always been a big one for me.
This is another one, and this happens a lot at the airport, especially in Melbourne, when you come out those huge lifts and people get in with their trolleys and stuff. So you walk in just with your suitcase because you're not an animal, you don't need a trolley because you didn't bring 50 bags.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stand with their backs against the buttons so no one can push the buttons. How the fuck do you think this lift is going to go?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go, excuse me, can I push the button? And then they kind of look at it like, oh, this thing. So you made it into the magical box, but you don't know you have to push the fucking button for us to move.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And good luck with Melbourne.
Thanks for having me. Thank you. Fingers crossed.
If you like this episode, then you'll love an ep I did last Melbourne Comedy Festival with the hilarious Mel Buttle. We spoke about the issues she has with Subway customers. She's just trying to order a sandwich, people. Just search That's Enough Already with Mel Buttle wherever you get your podcast. Don't forget to like and share with a friend and even leave a review. But for now, see you next Monday. Thanks for listening to this episode of That's Enough Already, hosted by me, Ursula Carlson, and produced by Natalie Turner. Supervising producer was Nick McClure, and special thanks to Ella Leaf and Beck Sutherland. Couldn't do it without you, gals. If you like this podcast, remember to subscribe, share it with all of your friends, tell your mum, tell your sister, don't tell that annoying brother of yours, you know, but definitely share it with a friend.